17. I don't know whether you're ready for this or not, but we have a few reports for you.
We're ready. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, on your CDR, CRD 17028, he claimed 7.5 hours of good sleep. He had a think and all before going to bed, and since the last reporting has had 4 containers of water.
Roger.
Yesterday. Do you want that repeated?
Negative.
Well, I'm not sure I can differentiate what I said yesterday, so I just better give it all to you. This is yesterday's complete report.
Okay.
CR was scrambled eggs, 3 bacon squares, peaches, pineapple, grapefruit drink, peanut butter, jelly, bread, chocolate bar, orange drink, apricot, that's dried apricot, one frankfurter, a third of a fruitcake, half a beef steak, butterscotch pudding, orange drink, and tea.
Okay, we got that.
Let me know if I'm too fast for you.
No, we got it all on tape. Go ahead.
Okay, with respect to food, yesterday, LFP, scrambled eggs, 4 bacon squares, orange, pineapple drink, cocoa, potato soup, 2 peanut butter, 2 jelly, 2 bread, cherry bar, orange grapefruit drink, beef steak, orange drink, and tea.
Okay. Jack, we're just about to switch antennas now. Why don't you wait till we get through it before continuing.
Roger.
Okay, Jack, I think we're back with you again.
Okay, got you. LMP PRD 24064. 7.5 hours, very good sleep. 1 hour intermittent. Had a Meconol. I took 2 aspirins yesterday. And since the last reporting, I've had 4 containers of water.
Roger.
Okay, OCMP. The man of the hour, one might say. Scrambled eggs. Bacon squares. Peaches. Cinnamon toast bread. Orange juice, cocoa, peanut butter, jelly, bread, cherry bar, citrus beverage, fruitcake, butterscotch pudding, orange drink, turkey and gravy, 2 frankfurters, and tea. You might say he was a little logy. CMP, PRD, 15027. 8 hours of very good sleep. He claimed he didn't get to sleep for a while. Seconal. And he's had 5 containers of water since the last reporting.
Okay. Jack, if future reports, if it's any easier, we can go the negative reporting. If you're fairly close to the menus, just tell us the differences. Whatever is easiest for you is fine with us.
Okay, well, now that we're eating well, that may be the best way to do it.
Okay, I have your consumable status, if everybody that's interested is listening.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Okay, your RCS is running right along at 1.3% above the flight plan line. On your cryos, the O2 tanks 2 and 3 are right on the lines, and tank 1 is still, as before, about 4% below the line, but looking real good. On hydrogen, you're a little above on one tank, on tank 2, a little bit below on tank 3, but the average is right with the flight plan lines. So consumables look good, over.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I see that our old SBS oxidizer pressure has dropped some more. I guess the helium is working its way in there, or out of there.
Okay, that's the way it looks to us. One final thing, management has informed me that since you've been so late getting to work this morning, we are going to have to dock you all a day's annual leave.
All of it. I can understand that for the commander, since he's always the commander, but I do not understand why the LMP loses a day, an hour. Hello, Houston, this is America.
Hello, Gino. Good morning.
Hello, Gordo. Request is that I handle the disciplinary problems up here. How's that?
Okay. Gina, we'll have FAO work on a good time in the flight plan later here to work in a captain's mast.
Okay, that'll be great. Hey, Gordy, for the record, I swallowed three of those gas pills yesterday.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control at 58 hours, 11 minutes, ground elapsed time into the mission of Apollo 17. The crew at this time having a belated breakfast, having overslept about an hour, despite many attempts to raise them by playing the Kansas fight song and a crew alarm being sent up on the uplink, which causes a warbling sound in the headsets. However, apparently Ron Evans, who was on watch, was unable to hear, since likely the earplug had fallen out of his ear while steering around in his sleep. Some amount of levity there, as it was suggested that their pay be docked, or they should be charged with 1 hour of annual leave at any rate. The spacecraft is presently 58,073. It's just now changed, 58,067 nautical miles out from the moon, approaching ever-increasing velocity as they draw nearer the moon, now 3,284 feet per second. The Earth continuing to get farther away behind them, 173,821 nautical miles. At 58.13 and standing by, this is Apollo Control.
empty.
Okay, Ron, we see the 93s, and you're clear to torque them.
Okay, we'll torque them at 1920. In Houston, I've started the dumping.
Roger.
Okay. regarding the O2 birds.
Okay, Jack.
Gordon, we'll get everything cleaned up in the flight plan, including eating up to 59 hours where we start checking the Delta P and pressurizing the CSM for left entry.
Okay, we see you doing all that now. We're just checking things off as you call them. Sounds good.
Okay, and then when we clean all that up, regardless of what the time will be, we'll pick up the 59-hour mark there.
Okay.
Wastewater dump's terminated.
Roger.
fuel cell purge complete.
Roger, on the fuel cell purge. Go ahead.
Roger, while we're getting organized to eat a little bit here, I'll give you your morning weather report if you want it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Gordy, that little storm, fairly big storm that was off the coast of northwest Africa yesterday has moved inland and presumably is giving the people up there some weather. Might even be getting some snow up in the Atlas Mountains. It's still fairly well organized and inland a few hundred miles, or the edge of it is inland a few hundred miles. The people at the Cape of Good Hope Yeah, ought to be seeing some clouds that are forerunners of a large circulation system that's south-southwest of them. That, although large, seems to have most of its heavy clouds to the southeast of the center, and they may not get any major weather out of this one. But they probably have cloudiness for a few days. The storm that was over Buenos Aires yesterday has apparently moved out to sea and is now west or east-southeast of that area. Otherwise, the except for those three storm areas, the South Atlantic looks relatively calm. The zero phase point is now off the east coast of South America, and it looks fairly dull and gray. I suspect no extensive chopping up in that area.
Jack, take a breather there. We got a tennis wind coming.
Hey, Jack, we're back with you and listening.
Okay, Gordy, I can't see you right now. I think that was about the extent of it. We'll get some food, and while I'm eating, I'll look at it and see if there are any more details.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control as Lunar Module Pilot Jack Schmidt began describing the global weather systems as he saw them from almost 180,000 miles out from Earth. The Weather Service meteorologist here in the control center, Alan Sandy Sanderson, brought in some Tyros weather maps and laid out on the spacecraft communicators console so that Capcom could follow what Schmidt was describing. Crew still having breakfast at this time. Is going to describe the tracking after the mid-course to yesterday. Spacecraft now 56,962 miles from the moon, approaching at a velocity of 3,284 feet per second.
17 Houston, I have the morning news here whenever you'd like to hear it, if you would.
Go ahead, Gordo. We'd like to hear it now.
Okay, first a look at the weather in the local area. It's going to be mostly cloudy through Sunday with a chance of showers here today, but much warmer. I'll have to wait till we get through the Omni switch here, and I'll be back with you. Okay, 17, continue on with the weather. It should be get up to the upper 60s here in Houston today. It was foggy when I came to work, but I understand the sun is out now and the fog's burned off. On the international and national scene, there's another reported snag in the negotiations between Dr. Henry Kissinger and North Vietnam's Lee Duc Tho. The two have discussed the peace terms since Monday, but so far little news concerning the talks has been released by either side. They meet again today. A judge in the Pentagon Papers trial of Daniel Ellsberg has declared a mistrial. Judge Matt Byrne has asked that a new jury be selected. Both sides in the cases must now go back to the beginning and prepare their arguments again. Former President Harry Truman is still hospitalized with a serious heart condition. Although listed in critical condition, the 88-year-old former chief executive has shown some improvement, according to his daughter, Margaret Truman Daniel. President Nixon has completed selection of his new cabinet by announcing that he will keep Richard Kleindienst as Attorney General. There will be a number of major changes, though, in upper levels of the Justice and Interior Departments. Life magazine will be no more as of the end of December. The pictorial magazine lost over $30 million during the past 4 years. No doubt some of the final pictures to appear in the famous 36-year-old publication will be those of the Apollo 17 mission. An airliner crashed at Midway Airport in Chicago Friday. Of the 61 persons aboard, only 18 survived the crash. In other national and international highlights, unemployment figures show a drop to the lowest level in 2 years. $5.6 billion has been released by the federal government in the first revenue-sharing payment to state and local governments. And the NATO foreign ministers have urged the Soviet Union to cut down troop strength and allow freer movement of people over the east-west borders. In local and regional news, new hijack control devices have been installed at Houston Intercontinental Airport. The new metal detectors are being installed in many airports around the United States. New inspection procedures will also begin in January of all hand luggage carried aboard airliners. And on the sports page, Al Conover is not going to return to Wake Forest as rumored. The Rice coach has met with University President Dr. Norman Hackerman to discuss a firm 5-year contract agreement. Professional football highlights today's sports. The over-the-hill gang from Washington with Billy Kilmer and Mary Brown will take on the Dallas Cowboys at Texas Stadium in Irving. The Cowboys will no doubt go with Craig Morton at quarterback. Dallas can ensure itself of a wild card slot in the playoffs with the Redskins if they win. For Dallas, it's a revenge game. The Skins have won 9 straight. Johnny Bench, the Cincinnati Reds all-everything catcher, has been hospitalized for tests. X-rays showed a spot on a lung. Doctors feel sure the lesion is benign, though. The University of Houston basketball team takes on Xavier tonight. The Cougars, with 4 wins and 1 loss, will face a Xavier team that likes to play slow-down basketball. The Houston Rockets beat the Portland, Oregon Trailblazers last night at Hoff Hines, 114-108. The Big 8 Athletic Conference has joined the Big 10 and the Ohio Athletic Conference in breaking relations with the U.S. Olympic Committee. Back in Houston again, Bill Peterson, the Oiler coach, says he's not planning on new assistant coaches. He says the Oilers need more togetherness with their coaches, not new ones. And the final item, the Des Moines, Iowa post office was emptying a mail pouch. One package fell on the floor, broke open, and spilled all over the place. The contents were postal service instructions on how to wrap and mail packages to ensure safe transit and delivery. Briefly in the paper just before I came in that it did crash in a populated area. So it was a very brief report. I don't think the final details have been published yet. I'll check to see if we got any more yet.
Okay. And I guess you know where at least my wishes go for that Cowboy game, don't you?
I'm not sure that I do.
I'll just let you make an assumption.
Okay, we got an antenna switch coming here. 17 Houston. I have a little more on the plane crash if you'd like to hear it.
Sure, Corey, go ahead.
Okay, it was a United Airlines jet, 61 people aboard, and it crashed into a south side Chicago neighborhood while trying to land at Midway. Most of the 55 passengers that were, I'm not sure I'm getting all the numbers right here, but it said here that most of the 55 passengers were found dead in the debris of and it was a Boeing 737. About a half a mile away from the airport. One of the victims was Representative George Collins, a Democrat from Illinois, who was returning from Washington to organize a children's Christmas party. The weather at the time was 500-foot ceiling and 1 mile visibility, and sleet and snow were falling at the time. There were no reports that any occupants of the houses were injured or killed. Turn back to the back of the paper here. A United spokesman said one of the six crew members, a stewardess, was among 16 persons admitted to Holy Cross Hospital. She said there were two infants among the passengers. Jet apparently missed runway 13 at Midway and cruised over the neighborhood of bungalow homes at heights of 500 to 1,000 feet, and then with its nose up and tail down, tore into the dwellings. Witnesses said the plane scraped the roofs of two bungalows and sheared through six houses, setting them aflame. The fuselage of the airliner split, but the nose remained intact. A tail section was sticking out of one house. Vomiting airliner sheared through utility lines and a 2-square-mile area was blacked out. Telephone service was knocked out. A power company spokesman said 5,000 homes were affected.
Okie doke.
And a little news about your trajectory. Since the mid-course 2, you've been looking real good. You're homing in on a 53.5-mile parallel. We're discussing mid-course 4, which if we do it at all, it's going to be very small. It's looking like about a foot and a half per second right now. And I guess if we do it, it'll only be because it'll save us delta V at LOI.
Okay, just looking, those dumps really knocked us for a loop, didn't they?
Yeah, it's driving your PTC out.
Yeah, we're at almost 40 degrees now. the temperature been pretty cold down there?
Here in Houston, it warmed up considerably last night, yesterday afternoon and last night, and this morning it's probably in the 60s somewhere.
This is Apollo Control. 59 hours, 12 minutes, ground elapsed time. Apollo 17 currently is 56,148 nautical miles out from the moon, closing on the moon at 3,284 feet per second. Distance from Earth is now 175,441 nautical miles. We'll continue to leave the lineup as we proceed into today's activities, which includes another activation and checkout of the lunar module. And hopefully today the communications noise will be somewhat less than it was yesterday. At 5913, standing by, this is Apollo Control.
17 Houston, I have some words about the troubles we had during the LEMCON checks yesterday, if you have a free moment to listen. Okay, we think we got a pretty good handle on what the problem was, and that was that the LEM communications gear, we think, was jumping on the voice subcarrier rather than the main carrier. And the symptoms we had point to that. What would happen is when I would try to transmit, then it would lose lock as soon as I put modulation on the voice subcarrier. During the checks today, we're going to try to verify that the system is indeed working okay, and we can do it without any changes in the onboard procedures by procedures that will be handled at the ground site and here at Mission Control. And so that's what we're planning to do. We really don't. The problem that happened has been seen before, evidently, and it's not that unusual. We really don't think there's anything wrong with the onboard equipment. Over.
Sounds good, Gordy. We'll just take her slow and easy when I get over there today and make sure we understand it.
Okay, Jack, and there's no voice check scheduled, and we don't think any are required. We can tell what we need to do without any voice checks.
Bertie, you're breaking up. Talk to you as soon as you get another option.
Okay.
Well, I got you. I took three pictures of the Earth. I thought I might have moved one of them. And we're on frame 145. You copy, Gordy?
That's affirmative, Jack. I copy. You may not be reading me through the Omni switcher.
Houston 17. You want us to go into a battery B charge?
Let me check, Jack. That's affirmative. Go ahead.
Okay. Battery B is being charged. And, Gordy, different than the last time, the charger amps is moving up very slowly. Started out at about 2/10 and now it's 1 amp. A little more, it's still going up. Before, it jumped right up to about 2 amps. Is that expected?
Oh, we'll check on that. Stand by.
Delta B is 0.6. You still want to take the command module up?
Gino, that'll be fine. You will not have to jack up the command module pressure.
Okay, are they calling over at attitude then?
Okay, sounds good. Jack, the way the amps are going to look when you put the charger on is a function of the state of the charge of the battery. And what you described is about what we'd expect considering where the battery should be.
Okay, that's what I figured. It's up about 1 3/4 amps now.
Roger.
And it appears to be stable.
Okay.
Gordy, I'm in the process of putting the biomed sensors on.
Roger.
Hey, Houston 17, thanks to it. Little South Carolina boy we had up here last time. We've got some grits up here. And they're really not too bad. A little butter on them. And a little bit dry. Of course, could add a little more water to them. It'd be a little bit better. But not bad at all.
I can't believe I'm hearing that from a real Yankee.
Of course, Kansas is not exactly a Yankee. Let me tell you, that does not apply to the little old farm boy from Chicago. As you students of American history may recall, Kansas caused a lot of the problem we had with those two people.
Roger.
And Grits is causing the rest of it.
Houston, we see that you're making a maneuver uncoupled in pitch, and we'd rather you make it coupled to keep Fido happy. Over.
Okay. Yeah, that was my fault, Gordo. I screwed up here. Houston, emergency cap, repress is off.
Roger.
Okay, repress back and valve is off.
Say again, Ron.
Hello, Gordy, you with us?
Yes. How do you read?
We're reading you loud and clear. The emergency cabin pressure select is off, and we're about ready to open equalization valve.
Okay. And we're ready for the high gain.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control, 59 hours, 44 minutes, ground elapsed time, into the mission of Apollo 17. The crew at this time making preparations for entry into the lunar module.
Pretty, that's a high gain. How do you like it?
Looking good.
Courier is reading 0.2 on the delta P and the hatch is cracked.
Roger, Gene.
Dean, how do you read the LMD's biomed?
Let me check. Jack, the EKG looks great. Your ZPN looks like a sensor might be loose. And we'll be handed over here in about 30 seconds.
There's no loose sensors, huh? Okay, we're in the process of getting the probe drogue out. I pushed on the sensors real hard again, and see if that helps it.
Okay, we'll take a look. That helped it. Don't worry about it until we call you again.
Okay, the probe is out, and we're going to drop down.
Okay, Ron.
Okay, the drogue is out, and we're going up to take another look at Challenger.
Okay, Gene.
Somebody left their lights on in here.
Roger.
It's just like a refrigerator.
Roger.
Docking index is unchanged.
Okay, it's a plus 1.2, right?
That's firm.
Ron, Houston, over.
Go ahead.
Okay, Ron, when you get a moment, when it's convenient, we'd like you to go up to the latch number 4 there, the one that's been giving us trouble, and we'd like you, we think it's just half-cocked, and we'd like you to stroke it. We think it'll probably cock on with one more stroke. We'd like you to stroke it at least twice more to verify that it is fully cocked. And as you do stroke the handle, we'd like you to notice approximately what point in the throw that the resistance increases. I think that summarizes what we want you to do, if you keep us advised as you go along.
Okay.
We're going to leave it cocked in from here on until redocking after rendezvous. We don't want you to fire it.
Sure, I understand. We're transferring to limb power.
Roger.
Okay, Houston, I'm going to give limb power. I'm going to go reset and off. And we have limb power.
Roger.
this is Gino.
Go ahead, Gene.
Okay, well, my compatriots are carrying out their respective tasks. I'm going to go off the air here for a few short minutes and give you a call when I get back.
Okay.
And I'm at step 3, Gordy, on 2-2.
Gotcha.
America here, I'm up by Dodge Lodge number 4 now.
Okay, Ron.
Okay, the handle itself is free swinging. Out to a point about 1 inch beyond the back side of the J hook.
Roger.
And I'll go ahead and try to cock it now.
Gordy, ED bats are 37.2 and 37.2. And the bus voltages are 26.2, and I'll bring on the high caps.
Okay, Jack, sounds good.
And Houston, as we all suspected, it has one cock on it, or it had one cock. Now it's fully cocked, and the handle itself is free swinging. The plunger has depressed, almost 3/4 of an inch from the top, and it is no longer parallel with the surface.
Roger, Ron.
Okay, when you look back in the side of it there, that little J hook with the snowman in it, snowman's head points, as you look directly at the side of it, points, the snowman's head is at 8 o'clock. And the connecting link from the one that connects, the one that goes into the plunger to the little fat J bar there is parallel with that slot so that the point of the J sticks out. So it is indeed fully cocked.
Okay, Ron, sounds good, and that's where we'd like to leave it.
Okay, will do.
Okay, step 5, 2-3.
Roger.
Houston, supply complete. Glycol pressure is 2-1. It's down about a PSI from yesterday.
Okay, Jack, copy.
And, Houston, is magazine II a good one to use for some opportunity interior photos?
Let me check, Ron. That's firm. II sounds good.
Hope so. Looks like that's the only one I have.
Did you, do you recall when you did the heat flow on HH, have you used all of HH up on that experiment? Don't get it out to look, but I just wanted to remember.
No, it ran out. It didn't. I got the complete cool down part of the experiment on HH, and then switched to high, and I got about 2 minutes of high before the film ran out again. It's a high power on the
Okay, Ron. Thank you.
After the main part of the experiment was complete.
Roger. And Jack, we're copying lab data now.
Okay, Gordy. Beautiful. I was just going to say, step six is complete. Houston 17.
Go ahead.
Roger, I just was thinking while I was waiting here that the cleanliness of these two spacecraft is certainly a tribute to the all the people at Grumman and Downey and at the Cape who worked so hard to put them that way.
Okay, we'll make sure they hear about it. Challenger, Houston, we've looked at the LEM data and it looks perfect, no problems at all. What we're doing right now, though, is the checkout on the carrier and subcarrier lockups on the LEM comm. So far, we've had no trouble with it, but we haven't quite completed the routine they wanted to try. Over. Okay, Jack, we've completed our investigation of the comm there. It all looked good. You can press on page 2-4.
Gordy, I see I neglected to pull the bow load circuit breaker when I went to, after going to high taps. You want me to go back and show you that again?
Stand by.
That's the bow load breaker on 16, so the buses were tied together.
Roger, I understand. Jack, there's no need to go back. Just keep on going.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem. America, Houston. We're all ready for the EMUD dump, if it's convenient to you. That's right, for Captain America.
Okay, we'll get her. Okay, Burp 74, enter.
Okay, we're getting it.
Houston, we have 50% remaining on magazine India.
Roger.
And they're all taking at 6 frames a second.
Okay. Okay, America, we've got the dump.
Okay, I understand you have the dump.
This is Apollo Control, 60 hours, 35 minutes ground elapsed time. LEM checkout apparently going along quite well at this time. The bulky docking latch has been re-cocked and will be left in that position until re-docking after lunar orbit insertion after the landing. Apollo 17 is now 53,438 nautical miles out from the moon. Velocity now 3,286 feet per second. Meanwhile, back at the Earth, spacecraft is now 177,980 nautical miles from the Earth. 76, standing by. This is Apollo Control.
Okay, welcome back.
Yeah, just testing out survival techniques in space.
Roger. Did you survive?
Well, so far, and we've got the land back on CSM power.
Okay.
Education of necessity.
Roger.
Okay, I guess the 11 looked pretty good to you, huh?
Yes, sir. Looked perfect. And we also went through the little communications, main carrier, subcarrier, lockup check, and the comm system worked perfectly, so there's no problems at all to report.
Okay, fine. We'll start in with the jack down at the PGA, and then I'll follow.
Okay.
How'd that ZPN turn out?
Let me get another check here. Okay, Jack, it looks fairly good right now, and don't bother changing anything.
Well, I'm just going to be in a position to work on it in a little while, and if the occasion arises, I could.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind, although it looks reasonable at the moment. It has shown some And sometimes it's gone to, from edge to edge on their scale, but it's come back in right now. I'll find out later if they want to do anything.
Okay, electrolyte pads may be still expanding a little bit, so I'm going off the air briefly to start getting into the suit, and I'll talk to you in a little while.
Okay.
we're up to frame count 151 on magazine, November. They've been pictures of the, primarily of the CSM on the LEM windows by the CMT.
Okay.
He's been up there fooling around for a while. We may have to check it out and see what he did.